Well, the first question that'll probably be answered is, why does this sound different? Well, the reason for that is because Matt and I are recording remotely. A little throwback to when me and Matt first became good friends. It was over the COVID-19 pandemic when, you know, the world was ending and we had nothing to do. And we decided to talk about James Bond over a few months. So here we are now in 2024 and both of us have COVID. This is my second bout with the demon, and this is Matt's maiden voyage.
Yes, I have had an absolutely epic run of avoiding COVID, and it should be said that, like, pre-vaccine, I was extremely cautious. Like a lot of people, I really didn't want to get COVID, and that needle was barely out of my arm before I was off to Las Vegas, Nevada. And since then, I have traveled extensively. I have been to multiple different states. I've been to Vegas a bunch. I've been to weddings, and I have somehow managed to evade it. And, you know, I knew I was going
to tell he went to my kid's birthday party.
Yeah. Then I went to Mike's kid's birthday party. The one thing I'm never around is kids, and they're like walking Petri dishes. So, you know, you can go to as many strip clubs in Las Vegas as you like, but you go to one children's birthday party and you get COVID.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So what that did though was open an opportunity because Matt was stuck at home to finish the Infinity Saga, which is something I wasn't sure he would ever get to.
I was going to say, so, did you think this would ever happen?
I wasn't sure, man. I just wasn't sure.
We've talked about this for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started watching the Marvel movies when I first got the COVID vaccine because I was down for the count for a day or so.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling so hot. And so I figured, well, you know, I've never really watched these movies. It's just something I've always avoided. I'm not a big superhero guy. Let me go ahead and throw Marvel movies on. And I actually enjoyed them for the most part until I got to one in particular, which we'll talk about very shortly, that killed my interest in this whole series entirely. And I haven't really picked it up since then. You and I've watched some here and there, but
yeah,
I finally got it done. It took COVID to stop me in my tracks, but here we are.
So we're discussing 22 movies here on this list. We decided to take out Spider-Man Far From Home because I don't know why they included that in the Infinity Saga. It is after the events of Endgame. So to me, that jumps off this entire new phase or whatever the fuck you want to call it, which...
Disaster. It's the new disaster.
It has been. I mean, none of those films have really been any good. The TV shows have all been a train wreck. And Marvel's had some flops this year, which is not... That's not something they're used to.
Absolutely not. As I was going through watching these, I got bored a lot. So I would just, you know, get online and start reading, you know, budgets and box office and things like that. And there was a run here where these movies were just printing money. I know that's not hard hitting analysis. Everybody knows that, but it is kind of shocking to see movie after movie after movie all cracking $1 billion when, you know, they can't do half that these days.
Well, the thing I think we'll give the MCU credit for is they started this build towards like these event films, and they would have these solo films to build up to it. And then everybody in Hollywood started to copycat them. They were really the pioneers of that concept. So I think credit where credit is due in that regard, but
I give them huge credit. And I'm coming at this from the perspective of not a Marvel fan. I don't really know. I don't read comics. I never read comics.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with these characters. You know, I grew up watching the X-Men cartoon in the 90s. Like I know you did too.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the 2000s X-Men movies and Spider-Man movies, which we'll get to at some point. That's my knowledge of Marvel. That's my knowledge of comics. It's very light. I'm coming at this from a position of like, not a fan, mostly disinterested. But the two things that I think Marvel does just better than anybody else is casting. First of all, I think most of these movies aren't great, but they are seriously elevated by just perfect casting. I mean, RDJ gets all the credit, but there's so many roles that they just absolutely nailed. And yeah, the interconnected universe is pretty solid, and pretty well done. And it is genuinely impressive. I do think it's both Marvel's biggest attribute and their greatest weakness now, because they've kind of become a slave to it. Where you know, every movie has to be bogged down with an extra 40 minutes of, oh, we got to set up such and such because they're going to get a Disney Plus series at some point. But you go back a little bit when they were setting up the, you know, the Infinity Saga, and they did such a good job of dropping little things here and there that all built to something.
Yeah. The post-credit scene too is something that they pioneered. Now all these other movies do it. But I think what's happened
I hate the post-credit scenes. I hate almost all of them.
They began to become tiresome. At first it was exciting. And I grew up with the comics, grew up with the cartoons, big fan of, you know, everything Marvel, especially Marvel. I think, like, I've made this comparison before. They became McDonald's or like Starbucks. Starbucks, I'm sure, started out this, you know, tiny little coffee shop, or McDonald's was this great burger shop that everybody wanted to get like a great burger, right? And then as time went on, they got bigger and bigger and more popular, less effort, but just pump shit out. And that's what Marvel turned into. What's the thing from Red Letter Media? Just consume more product and get excited for next product.
Consume product and then get excited for next product. Don't ask questions.
That's what it turned into.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm slightly more cynical than you are, I think, just generally, but with Marvel especially, which is that it's looked like that from the beginning. I mean, you go back, they weren't pumping these things out as much, but they were pumping movies out, you know, pretty quickly still, and always with the intent of building up to Avengers, which I think is smart. If you're going to do it, you know, have a plan. But I don't know, to me, the quality has always been up and down, a little more hit and miss.
Well, you haven't seen any of these new movies.
No, I have
not. It's night and day, dude.
No, the only new ones I've seen are Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, which I did not like. And I saw Black Widow a couple years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that sucked. But, you know, I will say, though, even to your point, even at the tail end of this year, like the last one I just watched was Ant-Man and the Wasp, not Quantumania, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the second Ant-Man. And that movie is really bad. And you can see the quality start to fall off towards the end of this run. Mm-hmm. You know, like Infinity War and Endgame were pretty good. But other than that, I would say the decline in quality started well before even this phase. You can really see it heter off over time. I mean, there's some movies that have to justify their own existence. They shouldn't even be around.
Yeah. And we can agree, too, that a lot of these movies after Endgame are pointless. People have lost interest. The OGs are pretty much phased out or gone.
Yep. Well, going back to what I was saying, you know, the great casting, I think, saves a lot of these movies. Well, now all of the people that you really cared about and were those great casting choices are gone. RDJ's gone. Chris Evans is gone. Hemsworth says he like doesn't want to act anymore. They're going to have to pay Tom Holland like $1 billion to be Spider-Man again because he does not want to do it. So yeah, they're running out of all those great characters now, and I don't really know where they go. And you know, you and I've said this a million times to each other, but and anybody else who will listen, I don't know why Marvel doesn't hire us. After you do something like Endgame, you can't just move on to the next Kang, the next giant universe shattering villain thing, because you've just done the biggest thing ever.
Yeah,
if you're gonna do that, you got to step away for a couple years or go really small for a while and then rebuild. You don't just go right to the next thing.
Yeah.
But they did.
So that being said, 22 films, the Infinity Saga, we're ranking them all. And I think I'm going to start off because I want you to finish this and we'll alternate back and forth.
Okay. Sounds good. I should say too, again, before we start our list again, I'm not a Marvel fan. So this was going to piss some, you know, Marvel fans off, probably you. I have also seen all but two of these just once, and in some cases it was a little while ago, so I'm ranking off memory, and I mostly ranked these just off of what I'm most likely to actually watch again.
Yeah.
So that's my little list disclaimer. So why don't you kick us off?
So coming in dead last, the worst movie of the entire Infinity Saga for me, number 22, I have Captain Marvel.
I figured that was going to be yours.
Do you want to wait to talk about these until like it comes up on your list?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Well, you're not gonna have to wait long. 22 for me. This is the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole entire life. I use this movie as shorthand for when I hate a movie. I just say it's Thor: The Dark World bad. this was the movie I was referring to that killed my interest in the series like 2 years ago. I was trucking along pretty good, and then I got to the back-to-back punch of Iron Man 3 and then Thor the Dark World. I was just like, I'm done with this shit. I can't do this anymore. I'm so over it. I hate this movie. It's awful. I had to watch it in two sittings. I think you forced me to finish it after yes. you got me drunk and then we're like, let's watch Thor the Dark World.
Yes. That's great.
That's all I have to say about that. Do you have anything to say about that movie?
Well, it shifts tonally. It tries to be a lot more dark, but then I don't know. Problem is, the dark elves feel generic. I don't know. It's missing something. I don't know what it is.
Quality, craftsmanship, good characters, good writing, good directing, good acting.
And forcing that Darcy from the first one back into that movie, which don't get me wrong, I enjoyed looking at her, but it's just, I don't know. It's a mediocre Marvel film and we'll get there with me. Okay. Number 22 for me.
21.
I'm sorry, 21 is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Me too.
Okay, so we're both there. So let's.
Yeah, I hate this movie. It's awful.
Like you said, this movie, it's the most apt description of this movie. It's like trying to justify its existence. Why is it even here?
Yeah, so that's what I said when I watched it. Was it? I kept watching it, and I was like, this thing has to keep justifying why it exists. Every 5 seconds, there's a new person coming out that's trying to get Ant-Man or get a thing or get the, they have like the MacGuffin of the movie is their factory that they can shrink down to little small size. Somebody's always got it. They're chasing like six different people. There's nine different protagonists. The whole movie is just, we got to find a guy to get a thing. It has no reason to exist.
I barely remember anything that even happens in that movie. And the only thing that is of any relevance is the post-credit scene where Scott goes into the quantum realm and then the snap happens.
Yeah, so that filled in some blanks for me because I watched these out of order. When we watched Infinity War, you had to sit next to me and be like, okay, here's where he's coming from. Here's where he's coming from. And yeah, him spending time in the quantum realm does factor into Endgame. But, you know, a lot of these movies, and this one included, I think would be so much better as like a short film. And I know you can't do that with Marvel, but this movie could just been like a 1 hour Disney Plus exclusive thing. And I think it would have been better for it. It's not a 2 hour movie. Anyway.
Number 20 for me, Thor Ragnarok.
Ooh.
This is where it started to go off the rails for me. This is where I really think they started to get into the silliness. Like, they saw what James Gunn did with Guardians of the Galaxy and thought, we'll just take that a step further. And I don't feel like it works well for the character of Thor. They've made Thor into a complete fucking joke in this entire franchise now. And Jeff Goldblum showing up, just being Jeff Goldblum. I don't know. Odin is lost in New York for what reason? We don't know.
Yeah, that's right. They never actually say why. Ragnarok's higher for me, so I'll wait on that one a little bit. But yeah, that was a little confusing. They never actually say why he's there. He's just there. He's just banished.
Yeah.
Okay. 20 for me, Thor. Just original recipe, OG Thor.
Okay.
I have very little to say about this movie. It's better than The Dark World, but a lot of those issues that I have with Dark World, maybe I don't like Thor. I like Thor in the Avengers movies. I like him around other people. It'll become pretty obvious, but on my list, a constant for me is that I like the team-up movies much more than I like the individual movies.
Yeah.
I think largely almost none of these characters need a whole movie to themselves. To me, there's just not that much there for a lot of this.
That might be a theme on here.
Okay.
let's see. We 19. Are on 19. I have Doctor Strange. Again, it's another movie where the character might do well with a solo film, but the execution of this just I don't know. It just felt like a movie where I left and I was like, that was fine. And then I don't really remember too much about it after that. The Dormammu I've come to bargain scene is one of the, you know, is a scene that's memed to death from this movie. They're just setting this up to introduce another Infinity Stone, I feel.
Well, yeah, of course.
I don't know. You don't really get like the sense too, like he's supposed to become the Sorcerer Supreme, and it feels like he does that in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. So Doctor Strange is my number 18, so I'll just talk about it now. Okay. I completely agree. He just out of nowhere, they're like, "Oh, you're so talented, you're so wonderful," and he's like, "Well, I am a perfect doctor, and I have a photographic memory, and I'm good at everything. So of course, I'm going to be good at this too." I agree with you. It feels completely out of nowhere. The whole movie reminded me of the first chunk of Batman Begins when he's training with Ra's al Ghul.
Uh-huh.
Except it was stretched to the whole movie. This Doctor Strange to me felt like the first act of a movie that was just stretched out over 2 hours. And then, of course, because it's Marvel, at the end, you've got to fight the CGI villain that's coming to destroy Earth. And also, I could not help but think about how Mads Mikkelsen and Benedict Cumberbatch, two of the most serious, high-profile actors in Hollywood, who I'm pretty sure both, you know, like went to the Royal Shakespeare Company or whatever, are just like standing on a green screen, flailing their hands around,
wasted,
just wasted talent. And I love Mads Mikkelsen so much, but just what an absolute waste of having him as your villain. I couldn't agree.
Did you say you're number 19?
No, I figured we'd talk about Doctor Strange now, because that was my 18, so it was close.
Yeah, yeah.
So my number 19 was Captain Marvel. The only thing I can say about Captain Marvel is I think it's better than the other Thor movies and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I wasn't hating it. I went into this movie trying to be as open-minded as possible. I've heard everything that everybody has said about Brie Larson. I've seen all the interview clips. And I really wanted to come out of it and say, you guys are crazy. It's man babies. She's fine. She's great. She's not. She is intensely unlikable in this character. The character is annoying. Obviously, that's not her. She comes across as pretty rough in real life. The character is written to be insufferable. I hate how they treated Nick Fury, who's basically just a joke in this. Extremely generic plot line. And again, oh boy, talk about wasted talent. We have Jude Law in a Marvel film and he's just flat the whole time.
Well, that's the thing. Brie Larson has zero personality or emotion in this. She has zero stakes. She's pretty much the most powerful being in the universe right off the bat. And then she just becomes more powerful at the end. It's almost a reverse Man of Steel, which I got caught up in the destruction and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back on that film, though, I completely understand the criticisms, right?
Yeah.
This kind of suffers from the same thing. But on top of that, they're trying to shove it down your throat that, she's a kick-ass woman and everything in the history of Marvel is inspired by her, including the name Avengers.
Yeah. As you pointed out, there's literally a movie called The First Avenger, and now she's the First Avenger. Forget about Captain America.
What'd you think about that I'm just a girl scene?
Oh my God. Okay. So that was the scene that made me hate the movie. Which look, whatever, it's fine, but it's also stupid because she's having her big CGI action battle, which is usually where I check out anyway, set to I'm Just a Girl, which is factually incorrect because she is literally the human manifestation of nuclear power and the most powerful being in the universe. So I thought it was a little ironic that this is supposed to be some like, you can do it empowerment thing. It's like, she's literally an alien. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't like that. I didn't like any of it. It was bad. The middle part was okay. When her and Fury are just kind of running around together.
That's the best part of the movie.
It's the best part of the movie. I thought that was okay. That part of the movie saved it from me hating it entirely.
It's because she's at least somewhat human in those scenes.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of emotion.
Yes. I get it. Cause like, they're playing it as you can't be emotional. We're emotionless aliens, but it's no way to lead a movie. You got to write your leads to be interesting, and she's just not interesting.
They completely castrate Nick Fury in that movie too. I mean,
oh yeah,
yeah. He's
hey, how did Nick Fury get his eye? Haven't you always wanted to know how Nick Fury got the eye patch? Well, thank God you've got a whole movie to tell you, and it's a cap.
So, my number 18 is Thor: The Dark World. We've said enough about that, so I'll move on to my number 17.
That's generous.
17 for me is Ant-Man, which I will discuss when we get to yours.
You're going to have to wait a while.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay, so I said my 18 was Doctor Strange. Number 17 for me is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Wow.
I don't remember anything about this movie other than, was it, it's not Kirk Douglas. It's, who's the planet? It was Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's him. That is all I remember about that movie. The James Gunn thing goes, it doesn't always land with me. And everybody always says, like, oh, the Guardians movies, they're so different for the MCU. They're so fresh. They're so unique. No, they're not. It's the exact same thing as the rest of the MCU. Same tone, same structure. They only exist to bring Thanos in, to show us the space thing. So the space thing can collide with the Avengers thing. And so we can have Endgame. That's it. That's why it's here.
We're going to have quite the different list here, my friend.
Oh, yeah. No, I figured we would. I have some hot takes. We are just getting started. We're finally moving out of the trash, and we're getting into movies that I would at least call watchable.
Sure.
And I don't hate Guardians of the Galaxy. I think they're fun. You throw them on, you have a few glasses of wine, they're fine. But I don't know. They're not ultimately my thing. I get sick of them. I love the music. Great music.
So we're on 16, right?
Yep.
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
I'll talk about it right now.
Yeah, go for it.
When we get to yours, you can rebuttal.
Okay. So, I'm not that far off.
For me, first of all, when you saw this trailer, this looked like the most epic Iron Man we were ever going to see. I mean, the trailer was fucking awesome. And then what we got was flashes of a great Iron Man film and a lot of scenes of letdown and bullshit. The Trevor Slathery reveal where he's not really the Mandarin. Just everybody now can get in an Iron Man suit and operate it at any time. That kind of started to happen here. I don't know. I felt like they really started to water down Tony Stark and how he was like the only one. I could see Rhodey being somebody who can pilot an Iron Man suit, right? His right-hand man, you know, they work side by side. But now Pepper Potts and whoever the fuck else can just get an Iron Man suit at any time. He spends a lot of time out of the suit, which that's fine, but I just don't find it as interesting. So, and again, as somebody who grew up a huge Iron Man fan, waiting to see the Mandarin take on Iron Man for once, and they just kind of shit in the fans' faces, I didn't like that at all. And then at the end, the pseudo-retirement speech, followed by him immediately being Iron Man again in Age of Ultron, made no sense. I don't know if Robert Downey Jr. was planning to walk off into the sunset after that, but I just didn't like the way that movie ultimately ended up. And it had a massive potential, but just a major letdown.
Okay, so I'm not that far off on Iron Man 3. I mean, we'll get there, but and I'm sorry for my voice. COVID is taking me. I'll get to Iron Man 3 in a minute. I don't disagree with basically anything you just said. All right, my number 16 is The Incredible Hulk. I had seen this movie before a long time ago. Just rewatched it, obviously. I don't know why this movie is considered the bad one of the MCU. Honestly, I might even have it a little low. I could bump it up a few pegs. It's very one note. Like, I understand why they don't do much with The Incredible Hulk, you know, solo anymore. And apparently there was a rights dispute. I just learned that. But I appreciate that this movie at least makes Hulk scary. And not just to him, but to Bruce Banner. Like, Bruce Banner doesn't want to be the Hulk. He's terrified of it. He has to control it. I don't like how they treat Hulk in the newer movies. I don't like that he's just a joke. That kind of bothers me. He should be like the scariest thing in the universe. And you sort of feel that here. So I appreciated it. It doesn't surprise me that they recast Edward Norton. I thought he was good, but he is notoriously extremely difficult to work with. So I get why he got recast. But yeah, this movie does not deserve the reputation that it has of being like the not good one.
Yeah. Number 15 for me is Iron Man 2. I like a lot about Iron Man 2, but I feel like they tried to shove 15 movies into one, and it was a big billboard for the Avengers. They tried to do the alcoholism storyline in here, tried to build up Rhodey, just a bunch of different storylines crammed in here that don't fit. And some of the characters in here, you've got a Mickey Rourke, who's a great actor, really wasted his whiplash in this. Sam Rockwell was great, but you know, he's not really used to his full potential either. I just felt like there was too much going on. They're trying to introduce Black Widow, and it kind of becomes a disjointed mess, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I watched it a lot when it first came out. This is when Marvel was still just really getting off the ground, and seeing the Iron Man shit in like live on screen was still different, and it was thrilling and really fun to see, especially for an old school Iron Man fan as myself. That suitcase suit up scene is one of my favorite in all the MCU.
It's my favorite. I love it
because that's something he did from the comics all the time. That's old school. So just to see that play out on the big screen was great. You know what I mean? But then the scene ends very, very quickly, you know, and they know they have this big battle at the end with a bunch of CGI robots, which becomes something Marvel goes to the wheel well one too many times on.
Well, you gotta have your big CGI action battle.
Yeah, but when it first happened in Iron Man 2, that was the first time we'd seen that.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I hadn't considered that, but you're right. I mean, really,
I'm talking about faceless CGI army, yes. Not one-on-one fights.
Right. Look, what's a movie without a big CGI action battle? I have long said that Casablanca would be improved with the big CGI action battle at the end.
Release the Lucas cut.
Oh, God, please don't. Yeah, I don't disagree with you about Iron Man 2. I'll talk about it in a minute. Hang on. All right. What are we on, 15?
Yes, sir.
Thor Ragnarok. I don't disagree with anything that you said. I do think it's a little too much. I liked a lot of it. I'm like a 6 out of 10 on this movie.
Yeah.
I enjoy big chunks of it. Everything, the humor, everything about it just goes like 1% too far. Every line, every scene, Jeff Goldblum is, well, he's going 100% too far. He needs to tone it. He needs to take it from an 11 to a 6.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mostly enjoyed it. It was too long. It should have been 90 minutes. All these should be 90 minutes. None of these should be over 2 hours, except for the big team up movies.
Sure. 14 for me. Spider-Man Far From Home. This is a solo movie. First one for Tom Holland. Michael Keaton back as the Vulture, or not back, appearing as the Vulture first time. Again, some of the things that are kind of like, these are nitpicky, but kind of annoying. Everything has to be traced back to the Battle of New York or Stark Tech. And the Vulture suit is Chitauri technology mixed with Stark Tech. It all goes back to Tony Stark. He's in this movie a lot, but it feels like Robert Downey Jr. was barely on set for a lot of these scenes.
Oh, most of his scenes look like he was actually on vacation when he filmed them, and they just flew a camera out to get him, you know, coming out of a wedding, getting, you know, on a beach, getting off a plane.
I agree.
Yeah.
But Tom Holland is great as Spider-Man.
He's a really good Peter Parker.
Yeah. I mean, I can't deny that at all.
Yeah, I mean, especially since Peter Parker's supposed to be a high school kid. I love the Raimi movies, but I look back at those and I just cringe that we were all accepting that Tobey Maguire was supposed to be a high school student. Like, it's so funny. Yeah, I like Homecoming. It'll appear later on my list. What are we on, 14? I believe so.
Yes, sir.
Okay, 14 for me. Okay, let's... Here comes the hot takes. Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, we're on... Oh, I see what I did.
What'd you do?
So forget I said that.
Oh, okay.
Because originally I had Far From Home on here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I need to skip that. I'm sorry. Number 13?
I'm on 14.
I'm all fucked up, dude, because I had Far From Home on this list.
Well, why don't I jump in with my 14? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you do it. You do it.
Okay. 14 for me, Guardians of the Galaxy. Honestly, everything I said about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 applies here, except I remember more of it, especially that opening scene, the Peter Quill. I think he's like robbing something and he's doing a little dance set to music. That's kind of fun. And I can honestly say, while I wasn't wild about it, I liked Guardians 3 better than these first two. I think I've decided that in my head. For as rough of a watch as it was, the James Gunn humor thing just doesn't really do it for me. It's a little too goofy.
Really?
Yeah, and I like some of the other stuff he's done. I like his DC stuff better. I like Suicide Squad. I'm curious to see what he does with Superman. I think he's actually a good choice for Superman. He infects his characters with a lot of heart, which is what Superman is supposed to be. He's not supposed to be an angry, murderous asshole who just kills people constantly and is grouchy all the time. So I'm looking forward to a sort of a fun Superman from James Gunn that has a lot of heart and character.
I am shocked that Guardians is so low on this list.
Oh, really? Oh, you're going to be shocked about a few things.
I could tell, because there's still one that hasn't been mentioned that I'm shocked we haven't discussed yet to this point.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't know what that'll be. You got to tell me when we get there.
I mean, if you really think hard about it, you'll know.
I guess you'll let me know. I'm not sure. But yeah, you know, the Guardians ones are funny too, because I really wanted, as a snob, I really wanted to like the Guardians movies more, because James Gunn is an auteur. They had so much hype behind them. People really talk very, they're all very well reviewed. People speak really highly of them. Like, film critics that I respect all say that, like, oh, these are the good ones. And I would need to take a Valium to rewatch these movies, I think. All right. Do you have your list straightened out?
Yeah, I'm making corrections here. Because we were going to talk about
Far From Home,
and we just didn't, because it makes no sense why that is even on this list.
Also, after Ant-Man and the Wasp, I could not watch one more Marvel movie. I'm so done with them.
That was your 14, correct?
That was 14 for me. Was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. So 14 for me is Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Black Panther, I enjoyed a lot, but at this point in the MCU, when we started to get going here, I feel like they started to go to the well one too many times with some of this shit. Killmonger is another Black Panther counterpart, which Marvel has done time and time again. You cannot deny, though, the acting power and star power of Chadwick Boseman, who it's very, very tragic that he's gone from this world, because he was a star in the making.
Yeah.
He absolutely carried this movie, and you could see the difference with him out of it and Black Panther 2, which both of us didn't like at all, really.
No, I Chadwick was such a star. And I mean, obviously him passing away such a young age is so tragic for a lot of reasons, but it is an absolute travesty that we're never going to get to see what he would have done with this character in this series. He was clearly going to be the next Iron Man, the next, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s or Chris Evans sort of leading the MCU, because he was so good. Black Panther is higher for me. But yeah, I agree with everything you've said. And yeah, he carried that movie on his back.
And Michael B. Jordan is fantastic in this as well. But
yeah, oh yeah,
in the third act, we have the same formula, kind of a faceless, it's not so much a faceless CGI battle, but it is, you don't know who any of these people are. It's a big arm. There's like CGI rhinos.
Yep.
And then the Black Panthers fight each other at the end, you know. And again, at this point, they've gone to the well one too many times with that climax. And you continue to see it in other Marvel movies as we go on here.
Yeah, it's really, Black Panther was such a shame because it was really heading in the direction of being a little more elevated, a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting themes going on. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, it's the CGI rhinoceros. We got to fight those now. It's like, oh, God, you guys, Marvel can never get out of their own way.
No.
Like, I don't think there's a single great Marvel movie, just a good movie. And it's purely because they are held back by their own self-imposed restrictions and checklists of things they need to do in a movie. And yeah, it's every time you think it's getting great, it always does something like that. I completely agree. 13 for me is Iron Man 3. I mostly agree with everything you said, and I wasn't like an old school Iron Man fan. I have a couple of different thoughts on the movie. First of all, the first two-thirds of this movie, I think, are the best Iron Man movie. I think what they do with the character is interesting. I like how he's separated from his suits. I like how he's out of the suit a lot. He's on his own. He's learning things about himself. I think the setup is really interesting. I'm glad we're not in the same room. I like the twist, the Mandarin twist. I don't know anything about the comic books. I don't know anything about the Mandarin.
Absolute blasphemy.
I thought it was a good twist. I thought it was fine. The idea that he's just like a, because of course he's like a ridiculous over the top villain and turns out he's just an actor. It worked for me. I thought it was great.
Fucking awful. Go on.
Okay.
Let me put it to you in terms you'll understand, Matthew.
Yes.
Blofeld. You should know this better than anybody because they fucking do this in Diamonds Are Forever. Right? To an extent.
Yes, to an extent. Look. If somebody messed with one of my beloved characters, I'd be pissed about it too. I respect that. I get it.
Even in Diamonds Are Forever, what they ended up turning Blofeld into was a travesty.
Was a joke. Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
But yes, I completely understand. And if I cared about the Mandarin, I'd probably also be upset too. But I don't care about the Mandarin. I don't care about him at all.
Yeah. So right.
As far as I'm concerned, do whatever you want. I don't care. I didn't read these comic books. I completely get why the fans hated it, and I think that's absolutely fair. And even me, not being a big comic book fan, I do think it is a... Even I know who the Mandarin is. And I thought it was a huge missed opportunity that Iron Man never got to fight the Mandarin at any point during his... the real Mandarin.
They said they didn't do it because they felt it was racist, but then they put the fucking Mandarin in Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. Like, why... Stand by what you believe then. Don't just fucking do it because now it makes sense. Or you got backlash from the fans.
I remember at the time, because this came out not too far away from Doctor Strange. I think it was like a few years. That was also the big thing. It was the Mandarin they were worried about. And then it was Tilda Swinton.
The ancient one?
Yeah, the ancient one. Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange. And they were concerned because, you know, you got to play these movies in China. The ancient one was supposed to be Tibetan. China doesn't recognize Tibet. So you can't cast a Chinese person to play the role because that's offensive, but you can't cast a Tibetan person and have it be a Tibetan character because then China will get pissed off and they won't show your movie and you won't make $1 billion. So instead they cast Tilda Swinton, which is really funny. I don't know. Just do the characters, guys. It's fine. People aren't that sensitive. But yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity. Where Iron Man 3 goes off the rails for me, like you just said with Black Panther, is that third act. I think the movie's really interesting. And then it just careens into a million CGI Iron Man suits. I'll go fight. I don't even remember what the villain was. I'll go fight the glowing villain.
Well, it's Kildrick Alden, I believe. And then at the end, he says, I'm the real Mandarin.
Which that feels more racist. But whatever. Yeah, and also the whole setup of that movie was that he didn't have his Iron Man suits. The whole like the whole thrust of the movie was he had one suit that he was trying to fix, I believe. And
See, in the comic, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no.
the story of Extremis is a lot more interesting than what they show in this movie.
You don't say.
Extremis, yeah, is like something just this terrorist, a domestic terrorist gets. He's using those powers, right? He almost kills Iron Man in battle. And the only way Iron Man feels he can stop him is to inject himself with Extremis. And he ends up blowing this guy's head off. Now Iron Man has his power. And this kind of plays into Civil War where like he can kind of control everything telepathically. So anywhere in the world, he has his armor up in space, like floating. And anytime he like snaps his fingers, the armor will come down and suit him up immediately. But they kind of nerf that a little bit in this movie, and they just make it like, oh, he can control his armor now whenever he wants without the explanation of him getting injected with Extremis. The only person that does is Pepper.
Okay.
So
I don't remember any of that. When you said Extremis, I had no idea what you were talking about until you described what it was, and then I went, oh yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about now.
it's a great Iron Man story that I actually read. And they just kind of bastardize it in that film. So that's another, qualm I have with it.
Who do you think's going to play Iron Man when they inevitably reboot this whole thing and start over?
Dude, I have no idea. It's probably going to be somebody unknown because they
Yeah, I
took
mean,
a chance on Robert Downey Jr. at this time.
oh yeah, absolutely. This was the Robert Downey Jr. comeback era.
Yeah, fresh out of the pokey.
Yep. I think it's going to be Tig Notaro.
Yeah, why the fuck not, right?
Yeah, she'd kill it. Okay. I think we're on number 12. Do you want to go for it?
No, on 13. This whole podcast is a disaster, by the way, but it's all good. I have not said my number 13 yet.
Oh, okay, that was Iron Man 3 was number my 13.
Yeah. I have Incredible Hulk number 13. I like Edward Norton a lot more than I do Mark Ruffalo in this role. But again, that's the comic book nerd in me, and I feel like Edward Norton is more comic book accurate to the character. I feel like this adaptation is pretty accurate to the comics for the most part, except for Abomination. They make Abomination look like the comics later on, but the personality has changed. I like the design of the Hulk in this. I agree with you. They make him a monster.
Yep.
They make him absolutely terrifying. They do a good job of building up to the first time you actually see Hulk in action,
Yeah, really good.
which is that's what you do in a classic monster movie.
Absolutely. You don't show the monster until you have to. And when you do show the monster, he's not a goofy, not scary jokester like Hulk becomes in some of these. Yeah, we didn't mention it. First of all, I completely agree. I'm almost feeling bad for putting it so low. I think I would boost up the Hulk a little bit. It's a good movie. I really enjoyed Tim Roth in this, who plays Abomination,
Yeah.
because he it's Tim Roth, right?
Yep.
Okay, because he's just like he's like a military guy or possibly mercenary, and he's just kind of slowly going insane through the whole movie because he's a trained killer and he can't catch this guy and it's driving him nuts.
The weakest acting bit in this whole thing is by far Liv Tyler,
Oh
is
yeah,
Betty Ross.
she cannot act her way out of a paper bag.
Yeah. She's great to look at, obviously, but
Yes, very much so. I mentioned this when I was watching it, but the animal cracker scene in Armageddon is burned into my brain, but not a great actress.
Thunderbolt Ross, too, the actor who plays him, he's great. I think he's recently passed away. That's William Hurt, right?
It is, and he did pass away, and that's why he got replaced by Harrison Ford in the new Captain America movie, which
Yeah.
may or may not ever come out. We'll see.
Which again, you're gonna see if they're going accurate with Thunderbolts, you're gonna see another fucking version of the Hulk, because that's gonna be the Red Hulk. And the comics do this too. They dilute the original characters because now there's a million of each. So that's what's gonna happen there. And
Yeah, they asked Harrison Ford at one point. They were like, "Hey, are you going to be Red Hulk in the new movie?" And he's like, "I have no idea what you're talking about. Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford does not know, nor does he care, what Red Hulk is. He never will. He'll probably never even see this movie.
I'm going to say my 12 because I fucked up. It's Homecoming. I've said what I said about it. So, okay. We'll get to your 12.
Okay. Did you take your heart medication today?
Oh boy.
My number 12 is a movie that I know everybody loves, and I just famously kind of don't get it. Iron Man, the first one.
Oh my God.
I think it's fine. I think it's an okay origin story, elevated by an absolutely fantastic performance from Robert Downey Jr., who is consistently great in every single one of these movies. I think he gets better with time. I think he's better in the team-up movies. I think Iron Man's better in the team-up movies. But as I kind of alluded to, I just generally don't think that any of these characters need their own movie. I know they have to have them to set things up and, you know, money. But I don't know. I watched this movie again last night. I just wanted to see if I still felt the same way about it. And I do. I think it's fine. It's enjoyable. He's good. The casting is good. My hot take is I think Terrence Howard is a better Rhodes than Don Cheadle. I like him a lot in this. But yeah, it's just always been kind of like, all right, it's meh. And then at the end, Iron Man fights other Iron Man. Go figure. And I know it's the first one. But like, when I watch this movie, I genuinely question how this was the thing that launched the saga. Like, this was the thing that people got so excited about. And again, it's not, I know it's not to my taste. It's this is not my thing. But if I saw this in 2008, I'd be like, all right, it's fine. Sorry. I know you love this movie.
Fair enough. Number 11 for me, Thor, the original Thor.
Yeah. Look, wow. That's high.
I'm willing to admit there are some silly parts in this, mostly from Natalie Portman. I think she's terrible in this.
She's really bad. Natalie Portman's a great actress. Don't get me wrong, but how she gets cast in these franchises, not in this and not in Star Wars. Like, she does not do well in franchises.
I feel like this kind of humor was the best for Thor, the character. Mm. Kind of a fish out of water.
I like the fish out of waterness of it.
Not a dumb fuck, but...
Yeah, he turns into an idiot.
He sure does.
Yeah. That movie puts me asleep.
But I thought this was where Hemsworth really proved that he can carry a movie by himself, if need be. I don't know. I think for me... So, and this will be a theme probably with some of these other movies, like just seeing these characters on screen for the first time is like from page to screen. I was in awe. Yeah. You know, I never thought I would see Thor flying with his hammer on screen, especially when DC was like, we got to be grounded.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do this that. And then
they went this was the same year that, this was a couple years after, but I mean, this was right around the time The Dark Knight came out.
Yeah.
And they just say, nope, we're going to go in a completely different direction. We're going to do something absolutely the complete opposite, which I respect. And I understand your perspective on that too. If there was something that I was in love with that I wanted to see on the screen and they did it this well, I'd be over the moon too. I just don't have that connection to these characters. So
yeah.
You know, for me, it's just, I'm just watching them as movies.
Yeah. And, number 11 for you.
Iron Man 2. I've always had this take. I've long said I like Iron Man 2 more than Iron Man 1. I am willing to admit it is a mess of a movie. You are absolutely right. It's got 100,000 things going on. But all of those things entertain me. It's very stupid. I do love the suit up in Monaco. I think that's really cool. The villain Whiplash, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
What was the actor's name who played him?
Mickey Rourke.
Oh yeah, so good, doing a terrible Russian accent, just hamming it up for the camera. I love it. He also hates Marvel now, which I think is so hilarious. Like, he still shit posts about Marvel all the time, and it just makes me laugh every single time I see it.
You're not alone in that thought though, with Iron Man 2 liking that more than the first one. A lot of people share that.
Really? Huh. Okay. Yeah, I just think, like, if you're gonna see, I guess, if you're gonna go goofy, go goofy, be goofy, and this movie goes the full goofy, and I enjoy it. I like Tony Stark being an alcoholic. I think it's hilarious, that he's having like an existential crisis. Oh, that's something I didn't mention in Iron Man 3 that I've been waiting to say for 2 years. Pepper Potts in Iron Man 3 is the worst. Tony Stark just saved the universe. He was catapulted halfway across the galaxy. He's having a massive existential crisis. He has massive PTSD, and she just treats him like dirt.
Yes.
Completely insufferable in that movie. Anyway, yeah, but with Iron Man 2, it's just, I don't know, it's really goofy fun. I enjoy it. If you're gonna go crazy, go crazy. And I love, who's the other guy? He's like the secondary villain.
Oh, Justin Hammer.
Justin Hammer. Yeah, God, that's such a good character. Just like not as good Tony Stark. I love it.
Yes, sir.
And up until recently, that was the only Marvel movie I'd ever seen in theaters. So maybe I got a little, maybe there is the sliver of nostalgia going on for me.
Continued in part two.